Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Southwest Ohio Full Court Press. I'm your host, Tony Peters. Thank you for bearing with us during this break that we had. It's no surprise if you look at our recent recordings, we haven't had a podcast since November. Unfortunately, life has just gotten in the way. A couple things came up for me and Seth that just wasn't able to get together and do a podcast. And doing play-by-play hasn't necessarily been very great so far either. But I did want to jump on an episode here because we are almost the end of 2021. And with that also becomes the end almost of the first month of high school basketball. And so I think it's a good time to just kind of regroup and look at what has happened so far, because we've had a lot of surprises and a few kind of questionable things so far this season. A lot of teams that have impressed, a lot of players that have impressed. I think this would be a good time to highlight those, as well as kind of talk about what to expect here going into 2022. As of today I believe actually officially is 30 days since the season started. So we've seen a lot. We've got 12 conferences here in Dayton that we cover. So we're going to go through each conference individually, talk about where the conference stands as right now on December 27th, talk about some of the things that have impressed us or impressed me, and then we'll kind of do that. So I think what we're going to do is start in the GWAC first, just because the GWAC, with it being Division I, everybody knows everything about Division I basketball in Dayton, it seems. So let's kind of talk about it. Beginning of the season, we talked about Centerville being the team in this conference. We said there really wasn't a lot of teams that we saw competing with them. And I think so far this season that has proven to be true. However, I think the big surprise in this conference has been Fairmont up to this point in the season. The Firebirds are sitting at 7-1. They've been winning every game by double digits so far this season, including coming back to beat Alter by 10 points after trailing by 10 at half. Fairmont has been playing at a level I don't think Seth or myself would have seen coming. Now, that is not to say that there's nobody else in the GWAC minus Centerville and Fairmont. Wayne is another one they're worth mentioning. They're sitting at 6-2, and they're undefeated in the conference. I think it's those three teams, though, are kind of the top three in this conference going forward. Springfield's only played three games so far. They're playing Fairmont as we speak currently, but they've only played three games due to their football team making the deep postseason run. And then you got Northmont, Miamisburg, Springboro, and Beaver Creek. And really, all four of those teams, I think, kind of all make up the middle of the conference. Everyone's got a few things going on. You know, Northmont, they're just such a young team, but they are doing the best out of all these teams at 6-3 currently. Miamisburg, they're 1-4 in the GWAC, but they're 4-4 overall. They've picked up some good, they've been pretty successful outside of the conference. Springboro, they've been dealing with some injuries. They're not necessarily playing, I think, as great as we expected. Beaver Creek has not performed as well in the conference either. You know, there's been a couple surprises there. I think Beaver Creek was one of those teams we kind of expected to be a little bit better, that since they were bringing back as much talent as they were. And really, when you look at them, I mean, they've got two of the best rebounders in the conference in Adam Duvall and Gabe Phillips. Duvall's second in scoring as well in the conference. This is a team that's been putting up 62 points a game, so it's a little bit questionable why they're sitting at 2-4. But when you look at just some of these teams they've been losing against, you know, their wins are against Fairborn and Thurgood Marshall, both by over 25 points. And then their losses, you know, a head scratcher to Springboro, a healthy Springboro. They got blown out by Centerville, blown out by Miamisburg, gave Wayne a challenge, only lost by a point at home against Wayne, which was big. But the Beavers just haven't really performed where we've expected them. Springboro again, you know, they've been dealing with some injuries. Freshman RJ Greer has been an amazing piece to that team. Him and freshman Jerome White both. Burrow has been struggling as of late. They're on a four-game losing streak going back to a loss at Fairmont back in early December. And again, they've just struggled against in the GWAC. You know, their lone wins come on the road at Xenia, and then they beat Beaver Creek early in December. So Burrow is not there yet. Again, Northmont, of that group in the bottom to mid half, Northmont's definitely, I think, been the biggest surprise at 6-3. Their only losses are against Fairmont, against Wayne, and against Centerville. So they've lost to the three best teams in the GWAC. You look at their wins, they got a very good win on the road against Ponitz back in November. They just recently beat Division II Tippecanoe by 2. Yeah, it's a Division II team, but that's not a bad win by any means at all. They've beaten Miamisburg. They've beaten Springboro. They've performed pretty well for a team with a new coach and as young as they are. But again, I think the storyline of the GWAC has been Fairmont and just the team they've had. Anthony Johnson is playing at a level I don't think anyone saw coming. When you watch this guy play, he's just playing like he's got something to prove. I've watched Fairmont 3 times this season, and all 3 games, he's doing everything you would expect in a senior to do. And that's something that it's hard to beat. Centerville obviously beat Fairmont by 12, but Centerville is on another level. What Fairmont is showing us is they definitely belong in a conversation in the top half of this conference. Now, that being said, I do not think it's fair to compare them directly to Centerville, only because Centerville is a defending state champions in Division I. They're bringing back 4 of the 5 starters. They themselves have not looked that bad. The Northmont game I watched, they struggled a little bit in the first half, but then come second half, they just came alive. You look at their resume, they've won by double digits every game they've played, including beating Fairmont again by 12, and they held the Firebirds to 36 points in that win. Centerville has proven they deserve to be on a pedestal, and I think until they prove otherwise or until someone within the conference proves they can beat them, we have to continue to give Centerville that respect. When you look at Fairmont, they've been successful. They've played quite well. Again, that Alter game, you have to give them credit for. But when you look at some of their games, Westland out of Columbus, they beat by 52 points. Westland has not performed anywhere as close to what anyone would have thought out of Columbus due to the talent they lost from last year. Beat Middletown. Middletown's got a younger-looking team, new coach. They just beat Troy. I was there on the 23rd this past Thursday. Troy didn't look as great at moments. I mean, it's not that Fairmont's not getting quality wins. It's just they haven't beaten anyone besides Alter that is on the same pedestal or even in the remote conversation as Centerville. So I don't think it's fair to be saying Fairmont is as good or on the same level as Centerville at this point. But I definitely think it's fair and deserving to put the Firebirds in the conversation that they are one of the best teams in this conference. Now, the team we haven't talked much about yet is Wayne. And Wayne is a team that is another surprise to me. Didn't really think much of them in the preseason just because we didn't really know what their roster was going to look like with some of these football kids. We now have an idea of what they look like, and they've been playing extremely well themselves. They just picked up a loss to Fairfield out of Cincinnati on Thursday night. They lost by 1 point. That loss and then Elder by 5 points is all Wayne has in terms of blemishes on their resume. That's a combined 6 points they've lost by. They're competing. They're somewhat in the same boat as Fairmont, though. They beat Afrocentric out of Columbus. Afrocentric, a Division III team, and you may be saying, Tony, that's a D3 team. Wayne should win that game. Well, Afrocentric has a player, Daylon Swain, who's probably one of the top 5 players in the 2023 class in Ohio. He's a nationally ranked recruit. And if you put Afrocentric in Division II and Dayton, they'd probably be a top 5 team. So I consider this a good win, even if they are a Division III team. But same to Fairmont. You take Afrocentric out of the picture, Wayne's beaten Miamisburg. They've beaten Northmont. They've beaten Springboro. The close win over Beaver Creek. Springfield, we don't know what type of team they are yet just because they've only played 3 games. You know, they haven't played a game yet that I would necessarily think it's fair to put them on the same level as Centerville. They'll have a chance to prove that this upcoming Thursday. They play Centerville at home. If Wayne can beat Centerville, then we can start having a conversation if putting Wayne in the same conversation as the best team in the conference. But I think right now, until somebody comes in and beats Centerville in the GWAC, we need to give Centerville that respect that they are the best team in this conference until otherwise proven. So where do we go from here in the conference? I think it's going to be a interesting matchup. I think Fairmont and Wayne could give Centerville a challenge. They've already played them once, or by the end of the 2021, they will have played Centerville once. We'll know what the outcomes are in those games. If somehow Fairmont or Wayne can steal one of those games from Centerville, it can make this GWOC race quite an interesting one. And it's definitely doable. Fairmont's got two of the top five scorers in the GWOC right now, and Johnson and then Desan Doucette. Wayne's got Laurent Rice, who's been playing extremely better than what we've seen in the last couple years now that he's having a different role. Wayne's also got Emil Wagner, a very good football commit, one of the best rebounders and shot blockers in the GWOC. And Wayne's got a lot of other really good pieces around them. Senior James Kamen, sophomore Juan Cranford coming off the bench, junior RJ Mukes. They got a lot of guys around Rice and Wagner that they're pretty athletic. And Wayne hasn't faced Fairmont either. So I think it's going to be a three-team race in this GWOC for the best team, or to at least win the conference. Springfield will have to wait a little bit longer and see where they end up. And then really for the rest of the conference, you're just trying to play for that fourth and fifth place, because, you know, unless you can beat Fairmont or you can beat Wayne and then those teams start losing, it's going to be very difficult to really get within that four spot. But that's what we play the games for. Currently in the GWOC, we've got four of the five teams in our current power rankings ranked. Centerville, Wayne, Fairmont, and Northmont are all currently ranked in the power rankings. Franklin makes up that last one. We'll talk about Franklin here in a little bit when we get to Southwestern Buckeye League. But I think that segues us into the next conference or league, which is the GCL Coed. GCL Coed has been, again, an interesting one. Alter has been by far the best team. They are, some outlets have them as one of the best team, top five teams in the state in Division II. Watching them play, I think that's a fair assessment. They've been very good. You take away the Fairmont loss, they've got a very good-looking resume. Beat Homestead out of Indiana on an A.J. Lean buzzer beater. Homestead's got Fletcher Lawyer, Purdue basketball commit on their team. These guys beat Moeller in overtime. Granted, Moeller's not the same team from years past, but to go beat Moeller is still quite a feat. The Knights have also beaten Oakwood, and they've beaten Chaminade Julienne. They also played Fenwick and beat them by 35 points, and then obviously the Fairmont loss. Jacob Connor has been playing unreal for the Knights, and really, when you look at their GCL, you got to look at who they played in the GCL so far. Considering the margin of win against CJ and Fenwick so far, I don't know between McNicholas, Baden, and Carroll, who they have not faced yet, if any of those teams have enough to stay within a couple points of the Knights. I mean, they are such a good defensive team, such a disciplined team. When Jacob Connor at 6'9 is sitting at the bottom of a 2-3 zone and blocking any shot that goes up, you have to play with a lot of confidence, which the Knights definitely did defensively. And really, that's been the main talking point of this league, is how good Alter's been. Now, there's been a few surprise teams, both positive and negative, early on in this league as well. Number one, Chaminade Julienne is currently sitting at 3-4. Now, that record is slightly deceiving, because you look at their last three losses. Today they lost to Central Catholic in Texas. They're in San Antonio currently playing in a holiday tournament. Lost by 3 in overtime. Lost to Newark out of Columbus by 7. I've watched Newark twice. They're the real deal, and they beat Pickerington Central out of Columbus earlier this season, so they're a very good team. And then the loss at Alter, where they lost by 17. There's really – it's hard to look at the Eagles actually, let me rephrase that. It's easy to look at the Eagles at 3-4 and say they're not a good team this year. The only other loss that we haven't included is Trotwood-Madison at the beginning of the year, where the Eagles lost by 3. So they didn't get blown out by Trotwood by any means. The reason that record, though, could be deceiving is you look at their three wins. The four losses have been pretty good losses. They haven't really lost to a team they shouldn't lose to. They've beaten Thurgood Marshall. They beat him by 23. They beat Belbrook by 12. They beat Carroll by 11. So they've been convincing in their wins. But if you look at those three teams, Bellbrook is 6-2. You take Bellbrook out of the picture, Carroll's sitting at 1-4, Thurgood Marshall's sitting at 1-8. So the Eagles have taken care of business against some very poor teams so far. That's why I say their record's a little bit deceiving. The four losses, it's hard to look at those four losses and say they're not great or that they're not a good team because they've lost four games, considering who they've lost to. But when we look at who they've beaten, they haven't necessarily beaten anybody either that makes you stand out and say, wow, this team is playing such a schedule. The good news is, in January, you're going to have a chance to see what this team truly is made of. They go to Wayne. They're playing at Purcell Merriam. They go to Hamilton, playing Alter at home. If you want to look even further, you get into February. They play LaSalle. CJ is going to have some chances to show that they're still the real deal. I mean, this team was in the state semifinals a year ago. I think they're in the same – they're somewhat in the same boat as Alter – excuse me, as Centerville, in that I think it's not fair to rule them out because of a 3-4 record and because they were there a year ago. But you also have to realize they're in a different boat in Centerville in that they lost two starters in Dan Nassif and A.J. Solomon. And we made a comment in the preseason that we felt that could be something that would hurt them. I do believe having Solomon and Nassif, they probably would have beat Trotwood and they probably could have beaten Newark. I don't know, based off that margin of loss, they could have beaten Alter with those two, but that's how much those two made a difference for that team. The fact that the Eagles are 3-4, it's a little surprising. We'll see how they finish out coming back from Texas, if they're able to pick up a win or two. I don't know the level of competition in that tournament they're playing in, but we'll see. The other Dayton area GCL teams, Fenwick and Carroll, have struggled as well. Fenwick is sitting at 1-6 currently. Their lone win has been against Carroll. But the Falcons, we knew this was going to be a down year for them. They lost a lot from a year ago, especially A.J. Braun, who's now tearing it up at Wright State. But the thing with this Fenwick team is when you look at their losses, they've had quite a few close losses. Lost by 1 to Purcell Marion, lost by 2 to Lebanon. Those were both in November. You get into December, they have an 8-point loss at home against Trotwood. That was just a few days ago. They lost by 7 to a Division I program in LaSalle. Now, LaSalle's not the same LaSalle we've seen in years past, but to lose by the 7 is not bad by any means. Again, they beat Carroll. Their big losses are to Alter and Elder, who are two of the best teams in the state of Ohio in their respective divisions. Fenwick has not played terrible, and it's also just their style of play. They want to play. You look at some of these games that they played in, you're not seeing a lot of games where they score more than 50 points. That's their style of play. They want to play a slower pace. They want to do all that. Bailey Temming is a sophomore for them. He's been incredible for the Falcons early in the year. He's 6'6", sophomore. He's, in my opinion, going to be the next best big out of Fenwick. When you look at guys like C.J. Napier and A.J. Braun, Falcons have had success with their height. That's a very tall-tale sign of what this team is capable of doing. He's very much like Emil Wagner in the G-Walk. He's one of the best rebounders and shot blockers in this league. You look at Carroll, they're really struggling too. Sean McKeetrick, their junior, is leading the league in scoring, but the Patriots have just struggled. I mean, a 17-point loss to Miamisburg, a 21-point loss to Fenwick. Their only win on the year was beating Northwest at home out of Cincinnati. They beat them by 22 points. And then the next night, they lose by 3 in overtime at Tecumseh. Carroll struggled offensively. This isn't necessarily a huge surprise to us, only because losing the amount of seniors they lost, we knew this could be a bit of a struggle for the Patriots. I think where the surprise comes in has been the margin of loss so far. The Fenwick loss especially is a head-scratcher because the style of play these two teams play, that shouldn't be that large of a difference. And when you look at Carroll, I mean, looking into January, they're currently playing in Tennessee. They'll be for a tournament. They play tomorrow. They start that tournament up. But you look into January, they don't really have that many, if any, games that I think they could easily get a win out of. They go to Waynesville non-league. Waynesville's currently playing extremely well. Stivers looks like that could be a game they could pick up, but you know, they get McNicholas twice. McNicholas, we don't really know much on yet. They've only played four games. Kenton Ridge and Urbana out of the CBC. These games that Carroll's playing in the GCL could prep them for those teams, but I don't know. I mean, Urbana came out hot to start the year. Kenton Ridge, it's kind of hard to see where they're at, but the Patriots will get, you know, a game with Alter. They got their second matchups with CJ and Fenwick. They don't really have an easy looking road the rest of the season, so I don't know how many more games they may pick up wins on, just because they don't have a lot of depth, unfortunately, beyond McKeetrick. That's going to have to change. You know, Baden and McNicholas are the two teams we haven't talked about, and those two teams, they are a combined 3-6 right now. McNicholas has only played four games. They're fresh off of playing in the they were hosting a tournament in Cincinnati this right before Christmas. They played Taft and Huntington Prep out of West Virginia, got beat pretty bad in both those games. But you take those games away, their only losses so far was a single-digit loss to Turpin, and they beat Baden by 12 at home. These guys are in Florida right now playing in a tournament. The Rockets, it's hard to see where they're at, but Baden has kind of come alive that they may be a team similar to Fenwick with their style of play. They beat Cincinnati Christian. They've beaten Edgewood in overtime. Their only losses are to McNicholas, which I already mentioned. They got beat by 50 by Elder. But again, Elder, one of the best teams in the state in Division I. A six-point loss against Bellbrook, at Bellbrook. You know, Baden's very much like Fenwick right now in these low-scoring, tighter games. But Carroll's going to have to find a way to win these games. I think once we get to January, Carroll will find a way to win one of these games in the GCL. But just early thoughts in December, it's been very concerning at 1-4, just the struggles they've had beyond McKeetrick, if they're going to be able to beat any of these other teams. But really, the talk of the town in this league continues and will continue to be Alter. Until somebody can beat them, Alter is the best team in this league. It's what we said in the preseason. Again, Jacob Connor is playing so much better, and with him being in a different role than what he was in the past. In the last 2 years, he hasn't had to be the go-to guy because he had guys around him that could score. Well, now that he's a senior and he's 6'9", he's realizing just what he's capable of doing in this league, and that there's really not a guy in this league that matches up with his size and his skill level. So Alter could run the tables in this league, could come out of the GCL 10-0. They easily could. I don't think they will, because it's very difficult to come out of the GCL 10-0. Especially when you beat CJ by 17, you're probably not going to beat him by more than 5 points the second time you play them, because CJ doesn't typically let that happen twice. Moving to the Southwestern Buckeye League, preseason, one of the things we said about this league was the East Division was going to be the best part of this league, and it has done just that. Looking at the league records, you've got 3-4-0 teams in Franklin, Oakwood, Waynesville. And you got Bellbrook at 4-1, then Monroe at 2-3. In the West Division, Eaton is sitting at top at 2-3. Starting in the East, again, this has been and will be what runs this league. The bulk of the talent is in this part of the swivel. Looking at Franklin was exposed, I'll say, beginning of the year. They were beaten by 36 points against Lakota West at Mason High School at the Ohio Valley Hoops Classic. And what I think Lakota West exposed Franklin was that they were not going to be the same team they were a year ago. Even with guys like Noah Rich and Nate Parlberg back, it wasn't fair to put Franklin as they're going to be as good as they were a season ago, simply put. But one thing I like about this Franklin team this year is they appear to have scheduled a lot of their non-league games as Division I opponents for the most part. And what that does is it helps them when it comes to seeding at the end of the year. Last year, I didn't feel like they played as many Division I teams. I know they played McNicholas, who was very good a year ago, but they didn't play a lot of D1 teams that were prepping them for the tournament. So when the coaches went to vote, they were basing Franklin's non-league off of teams that they probably should have beaten. This year, already, they've beaten Vandalia Butler, who's a Division I program, by 12. They beat Belmont,
by over 20. They beat Lebanon. That's ultimately why they're ranked in our power rankings right now, with a 2-point win over Lebanon at home. The Wildcats have done what they've needed to do, which has been, since that Lakota West game, they've taken care of business in the Southwestern Buckeye League. It's been a really leaned on in Noah Rich and Nate Parlberg, their two senior leaders. They're both top five in scoring. They're top five in rebounds. Rich is shooting the ball extremely well right now. They've really been quite impressive for the Wildcats. You take away that Lakota West game, they've been good. You look ahead to the remaining part of the season, they still got quite a few tough matchups upcoming. They got Waynesville coming up next week, as we're going to talk about here in a moment. They got Oakwood. They got their first matchup with Oakwood. They actually get both their games with Waynesville done in January. Franklin's, you know, while they've started the year off well, they're far away from, you know, having control in this league. Oakwood, also undefeated in the league. Their only loss comes to Alter. You take Alter out of the picture, they've been dominant all season as well. They haven't had a game within 10 points. They beat, Monroe, they beat by 9. And Carlisle, they beat by 11. Everybody else has been at least more than that. The Lumberjacks have had Will Maxwell playing extremely well. He leads the Southwestern Buckeye League in scoring currently at 24 points a game. Keon Wright's in that top five as well. He's at 17. Jack Epley, their point guard, has been playing extremely well. Oakwood has been doing what they need to do to hang in there. And I think that when you look at this team and you look at the fact that they only lost by 15 at Alter, they're exactly the team that you need to compete with Franklin. Now, the other team in this league is Waynesville. Waynesville, the other unbeaten so far, they have a little bit more of a concerning factor to them, because you look at them outside of the Southwestern Buckeye League, they've got a lost at Cedarville. They got beat 52-24 against Cedarville, and they lost 57-44 to Legacy Christian. Those are Division IV teams. This Spartans team should not be losing by those margins to those teams. Now, they did beat Twin Valley South by 12, which was, as we'll talk about, a very decent team in D4. They beat Clinton Massey by 12. They've won some games, but in the Southwestern Buckeye League, though, they've been winning every game by double digits. A lot of that is because their senior, Josh Mitchell. Mitchell has been a very, I don't want to say surprising, but he's been a very impressive player early on in this league. He's leading the league in steals. At 6'3", he's pretty tall for a guard. He's very athletic. He just picked up an offer from Wilberforce just a couple of days ago. Waynesville's playing pretty well. Now, will that translate over to beating a Franklin and beating a Oakwood? That I don't know, because the other team right behind them is Bellbrook. Bellbrook's only loss on the season so far, in the league, is at Franklin. They lost by 4 points. Their other loss was a 12-point loss to Chaminade Julien. Bellbrook's got Gabe Pavlock back. He's healthy. And that's a big reason why the Eagles have been playing quite well. Looking at them, they've picked up a lot of good wins as well. They get a good matchup tomorrow night against Ponitz, which I'll be at. That 4-point loss against Franklin tells me Franklin doesn't have this division in the bag. It's going to be a challenge. And, I mean, we haven't even talked about Monroe. Monroe lost their top three scorers from a year ago. They're at 4-5. And when you look at their matchups, I mean, they only lost by 9 to Oakwood. Bellbrook, they got beat pretty bad, but you know, they beat Edgewood by 4 on the road. They beat Madison. They started the year off 4-0. They've lost 5 straight, but they started the season off 4-0. And we're looking early on, after beating Swivel teams Middletown, Madison, and Valley View, like they could maybe make a little run. Unfortunately, once they started playing some tougher teams, we started to realize they're maybe not going to be as tough as we thought. But that East Division is really where it stands. Now, the West Division, I'm not going to dwell too much on this just because we said preseason this division was going to be the one that struggles the most. And the fact that Eaton, who I believe they only won a game or two a year ago, they've already matched that for the season at 2-5. the fact that they're sitting at the top of the league tells you this league is just not – this part of the league is not as strong. And consider this. Eaton is the best team in the West. Franklin's the best in the East. These two played each other already once. Franklin won that game by 27. That tells you just how deep of a margin difference you have between these teams. Eaton has been a surprise with their new coach. Brookville, they've only won – Brookville, Valley View, and Middletown Madison have all only won one game on the year. Brookville and Valley View, both of those wins have come against Middletown Madison. So, excuse me, I stand corrected. Brookville's came against Monroe, which that's a good win for them. And then Valley View, their lone win so far in the league came against Carlisle. So they haven't played Madison yet. I stand corrected. But this part of the division, that could just be a challenge for this for the West to see who comes out of there. But I think the big storyline in this, besides that East Division race, is going to be Franklin and just how high can they get in the power rankings. And even once we get to February when we vote on the seeding, I mean, Franklin playing in the Southwestern Buckeye League, beating Oakwood, Waynesville, Bellbrook, those are going to be good. But you got to look at who you're comparing them against. Wayne, Fairmont, Centerville, we're not going to compare much of because I think Centerville is going to be the top seed. When you start looking at resumes, Franklin's not going to have as strong as a resume as those other aforementioned teams. And the one team you could compare them to with Dakota West beat them by 36 to start the season. For Franklin, I think at power ranking-wise, they're not going to get higher than the 4 seed, which they are currently sitting at right now. It's going to be hard for them to get above Fairmont and Wayne at 2 or 3, just unless those teams really struggle in January and drop some games to the teams they're not supposed to drop to. That could be a problem, but otherwise I think Franklin is going to be, you know, they're going to probably sit at 4. And then that's not even mentioning, let's say they get to the seeding, I could see some of these coaches voting a GWOC, a Northmont, higher than Franklin. So if that happens, what does Franklin do when it comes to their turn to put on the bracket? Do you go after a team that you think you want to prove, hey, we can beat you? Do you go for the better matchup? I mean, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens the rest of the season with Wildcats. Staying in the Division I kind of threshold, we're going to go to the Miami Valley League. This league, one team that we thought was going to be the top team has impressed. One team we thought was going to be the top team has not. Tippecanoe, they're 4-1 on the season. They have been pretty impressive. Take away a loss to Northmont. They haven't lost a game, and they've won every game by double digits. But I think you have to keep in mind that the MVL definitely is not as strong as they were a year ago. And Tip has not even faced Piqua yet. Piqua's undefeated right now. They won't get a taste of that Piqua or a shot at Piqua until the middle of January, and then they won't get him again until that following week at Piqua. You know, Stanley Klein has been a really impressive player for them. Watched him play during the Prep Hoops Expo, and he played quite well. Got my attention, got some other scouts' attention. He's translated that over to the high school scene. The Red Devils have been pretty impressive. Piqua, again, they've only played 3 games on the year. Got off to a little bit of a late start due to their football success, and they've taken care of business in all their games. The 4-point win against Xenia is a little questionable, but they're going to have a chance to add to that. They play Fairlawn on Wednesday night, and then they play either Troy Christian or Graham, depending on how they do and how that game goes. So Piqua's been led by Drayshawn Roberts, who I believe, confirming that now, is leading the MBL in scoring at about 20 a game. They've been really, really solid. Butler's sitting at 3-3. Troy 3-4. Troy actually started the year off. I thought Troy was going to be a surprise team. They started the year off 3-0, and especially they beat West Carrollton by 11, and then they dropped, unfortunately, 4 straight. And just watching them play against Fairmont a few days ago, it's apparent that the Trojans are exactly what we expected preseason, just down a lot of guys and just not ready to win this league just yet. You know, Tip, I think Tip has proven, even with the talent they lost, they're still here. I think once we see what they do with Piqua, that'll be more telling of can they win this division. I mean, they're going to get two games with Piqua within 6 days. It's going to tell you a lot about what this Red Devils team can do. In the Valley Division, it's a little bit of a different story, and it's a little bit of a different look right now. Sydney sits atop the league at 4-1. West Carrollton's right behind him at 2-2, and Stebbins is 2-3. Now, Sydney has been looking good, but again, they haven't played anyone outside the MVL. They were supposed to play West Carrollton a few days ago. That game got postponed. Looking at their resume, their best win is against Troy, with a 9-point win. They do have a loss to Xenia, which that is going to definitely hold them back, not only in power rankings, but when it comes to seeding at the end of the year. They do get a couple non-league games to end the year they'll be playing, but it's Bellefontaine and Tecumseh. Those are games they should win. So the Yellow Jackets should be 6-1 by the end of the season, which, considering the talent they lost from a year ago, to be 6-1 coming out of 2021, you got to be happy with that. They haven't gotten a game with West Carrollton yet, and that's going to be very telling of where this division goes. The fact, though, that West Carrollton has losses to Troy and Tippecanoe, that's got to help them somewhat. The Pirates will be kind of getting back into a groove of things once we get into January. That first week of January, they've got three games, including going to GWOC Miamisburg. Sam Walker has been playing about what we expected him to do. He's been one of the best rebounders in this league. He's leading. He's got 13 rebounds a game right now. But really, beyond Walker, there really hasn't been anybody else at West Carrollton doing enough for this team to win this league. I mean, you look at Sydney, Jalen Swiger has been phenomenal, but the Yellow Jackets have another player. I haven't seen him play yet, but they've got a freshman in Sam Reynolds. This kid is averaging 19 points a game and 10 boards a game as a freshman. That could be very telling. If this Sydney team has got some young talent that's helping them out, that's going to be a problem for West Carrollton to match up against. You look at the rest of the division, Stebbins, Xenia, and Fairborn, they're all, I just don't know where they're going to be at. You know, Xenia beating Sydney, that's big for them. Stebbins, they beat Xenia big. They beat him by 24 points just a few nights ago. They've also already beaten Fairborn by 11. Unfortunately, though, for Stebbins, three of their four losses that they've got have been double digits. I think they do play Greenville tomorrow night. That'll be a chance for them to at least get to 3-4 should they win that game. And then they've got a very tough stretch to start off January. They go to Troy, West Carrollton, and they host Tippecanoe. They'll get Butler a second time. They only lost by 2 to Butler on December 3rd, so they'll have a chance to avenge themselves there. Fairborn, they're sitting at 0-7, and there just really hasn't been much to talk about with Fairborn. Their closest game was a 3-point loss to West Carrollton, but besides that, they've been beaten by double digits every game. It's going to be, I think, a Sydney-West Carrollton race. Now, clearly Stebbins and Xenia, I think, are capable of pulling a win here or there and spoiling that. But especially with Sydney having, you know, a good player, obviously a very good freshman in Sam Reynolds, that could be a game changer for the Yellow Jackets. Look at Drayshawn Roberts. He was a star for Piqua as a freshman. Now as a junior, he's one of the best players in this league. Now, Sydney and Piqua being Division I, they're on the honorable mention list currently in our power rankings. It is going to be very difficult for one of these teams to crack the top five, just because when you look at the resumes, I mean, Sydney's got now the loss to Xenia. That's, even if they're 6-1 going into January, that loss to Xenia is a very tough loss to overlook. For Piqua, let's say they win their home. Let's say, just for the sake of argument, they win their tournament they're hosting. And let's say that the better team wins in all those games. So they would beat Fairlawn, and then Troy Christian's undefeated. Troy Christian should beat Graham. So let's say, for sake of argument, Piqua beats Fairlawn and Troy Christian. Piqua's best win on the resume would be Troy Christian, a Division IV team. That, even at 5-0, that's not enough for the Indians to crack that top five. When you look at Northmont, who, yes, they've beaten Division II teams in their Division I, but it's been opponents. You know, a team that's going to hang in there in Division II. They've beaten Division I programs. And then you look at Piqua, you look at the next five games after this holiday tournament, they go to Fairborn, who's winless. Troy will be a good game. Tecumseh is going to be a good game. Butler and Sydney, they'll have a chance to prove it. So I think that the Indians, should we get to January 15th when they play Tippecanoe, if the Indians come out of that game and they're still undefeated, then I think we can have a conversation about them maybe jumping a Northmont, because then they will have some more quality wins. But that's going to be the biggest problem for these teams. And then for other ones like Tippecanoe, at least in D2 standards, they're going to have to continue to take care of business in some of these games. You know, Kenton Ridge, that's a team you need to beat. They get Sydney and Butler to start off January. You got to beat those teams, because Division II, as we're going to talk about, there's some teams sitting there at 4-3 and 3-3 that a 500 team that plays in a tougher league may be better than a 4-2 or 5-2 team that's got two losses to teams they shouldn't lose to. So we'll see what happens in the NBL. Dayton City League. Beginning of the year, we talked about this league kind of being back after having a couple years of struggling. And I have to say that the league is split in two. You've got the top half, which I think the three teams in the top half are very capable of running the table, and they are very capable of winning the Dayton City League and making a run in their sectional and district. And then you got the bottom half of the league, which how the teams have looked early on, it's hard to say what the ceiling is. Starting in the top half, you got Dunbar. Tony Dixon has yet to lose a game as a head coach in the Dayton City League with the Wolverines, undefeated in the City League, and they've won comfortably, minus Meadowdale, who took overtime for the Wolverines to beat. But they've beaten Stivers, they've beaten Belmont, and they've beaten Thurgood all by almost 30 points. But if you look at Dunbar, that record could be a little deceiving. I talked about those big wins. They're sitting at 6-3. So who have they lost to? Well, in November, back-to-back nights, they lost to Western Hills out of Cincinnati by 6, and they lost to New Albany out of Columbus by 1. The New Albany game I watched on a live stream, and New Albany did exactly what you have to do to beat Dunbar. You got to hold them under 50 points, and you run your half-court offense, and you basically you slow them down. That's exactly what they did. These guys also have a loss to Pickerington Central, who is one of the best Division I teams in the state. They lost by 20. I can't judge them for that. Dunbar's been looking good with Anton and Anton Allen. They don't have Randy Latham. He moved down to Georgia, so the Wolverines have been without Latham. The Allen twins have been big components for them. BJ Hatcher, their freshman, has done a phenomenal job stepping in as a role player. Again, the Wolverines have that win over Meadowdale. They also got a win against Rossford, who's a good Northwest Ohio team out of Division II. For the Wolverines, they're going to have a good chance in January to continue to show they may be one of the best teams. They go to Withrow. They got to go to Ponitz still. They haven't played Ponitz yet. In the same week, basically, they play Woodward out of Cincinnati, and they get Akron Buchtel. They got Troutwood Madison as well. Wolverines are going to have a chance to continue to show. They're currently sitting at number 4 in our power rankings. They're going to have room to move up, especially if you beat some of these teams in January. But right now, on paper, they've looked like the best team in the City League. The only team – they haven't played Ponitz yet. We'll get to them in a moment. The only team to give them a challenge has been Meadowdale. When you look at Meadowdale, they have that overtime loss to Dunbar, and then they have a 10-point loss to Tri-Village, which really, if they would have played the entire game like they played the third quarter of that game, they may have been able to win that matchup. But Meadowdale has won some close ones as two. They beat Ponitz by 6. The Stivers game, beating them by 13, was a little bit concerning to me. They beat Arcanum by 23. They have a good duo in Calerio Reeves and Lee Benson, but really beyond that, the Lions don't really have that guy that can lead them down the road of this. I think the fact that they've got the one game on Ponitz is good. When you look at Ponitz as well, they're 4-3 on the season. Their losses, though, I mean, they haven't lost to a team they shouldn't lose to yet. Lost to Withrow, lost to Northmont, lost to Meadowdale. But what Ponitz has, which I think is the most impressive thing in the City League that we've seen so far, is they've got a 7-point win against Troutwood Madison, which has been huge for them. Now, this team's got a gauntlet of a schedule themselves coming up in the next couple of weeks. They play Bellbrook tomorrow night, a 6-2 Bellbrook team. They get Preble Shawnee in a couple of days. Dunbar, they'll get their first test at. Right after Dunbar, they go down to Cincinnati to go play Moeller. I mean, Ponitz's schedule is so strong, they may come out of the season with double-digit losses. It's a good possibility. But this team and Alan Spears, they're going to be ready to play. And I would not be surprised if Ponitz finds a way to beat Dunbar or beat Meadowdale in their second matchup. I mean, it's possible. The City League right now, with Meadowdale's only loss so far being to Dunbar, if the Lions can beat Dunbar in January, that could flip the script. So the top half of the league looks good. So let's talk about the bottom half. Belmont, Thurgood, and Stivers. It's been a struggle. The combined record, when you look at these teams, 2-20. Thurgood has played the most games by far. They've put up 9 games. You know, they've got some close ones in there. Close, I should say. You know, they lost by 3 on opening night to Aiken on the road. They've been beaten by Meadowdale only by 13. They beat Belmont by 8. That's a good one for them. They got blown out by Western Hills and gave up 107. Ronald Smith, he's been the second best scorer in the Dayton City League. They just don't have anyone around him, unfortunately, to help them compete. Stivers has been just really struggling. Again, they're winless on the year, and really their closest game, when you look at their schedule, they lost to Greenview by 6 and Ponitz by 12, but they got beat by 30-plus to Trotwood, beat by 30-plus against Dunbar, got beat by almost 40 against Belmont. They're too susceptible to these blowout losses, and it's been tough on them. They have a chance to right the ship this weekend. They're going to Briggs High School in Columbus to play. They got Columbus Academy tomorrow. And then when we get to January, you know, they get their first look at Thurgood Marshall. That could be a chance for them to right the ship. They go to Urbana. They get Franklin Monroe, Miami Trace. There's some teams that aren't used to playing fast-paced basketball that Stivers could pick up a win, but it just hasn't been a great season for them, unfortunately. And we thought this could be a year they could maybe compete near the top half, and instead they're sitting at 0-8. So we'll see kind of what 2022 brings for these guys. But I will say this. It has been all Dunbar, all Meadowdale, and all Ponitz so far this year. I would not be surprised if it sticks that way. That's about five. That's the five biggest leagues in the area. We still got 7 more to cover, but we're going to take a short break here before we jump back into those other 7 conferences. And we'll go a little bit quicker with those because there isn't as much to dive in on. But we'll be right back. And when we come back, we'll talk about the 7 remaining conferences in Dayton. All right. Welcome back to Southwest Ohio Full Court Press. Again, this is your host, Tony Peters. We did 5 of the local Dayton leagues and conferences to start off this episode, just kind of recapping what the season has looked at like so far. We're going to do the last 7 here, which are going to be mainly your Division 3 and 4 teams, starting with the Central Buckeye Conference. This conference, there's 3 teams out of 12 that are Columbus-based that we don't cover. We're going to talk about those teams, though, because you kind of have to. The CBC split into 2 divisions, Kenton Trail, Springfield Shawnee. They've been the best team in this league in terms of the Dayton-based teams. This part of the league has Jonathan Alder and London. For Jonathan Alder, they've been competitive since they got to this league. They joined the CBC just a few years ago. Their only loss on the year was a 3-point loss to a Division I power in Hilliard-Davidson out of Columbus. They've got 2 very big matchups coming up in the next 2 days, playing Tecumseh tomorrow night. Then they go play Jackson out of Southeast Ohio down at Waverly High School. They won't get their first test at Shawnee until January 7th. And speaking of Shawnee, like I said, they've been the best team in this division so far. Their only loss on the year comes to Botkins, their defending Division IV state champions. The Shawnees looked pretty damn good besides that. 2-point win over Tecumseh, that's a little bit of a surprise, we'll call it, but Tecumseh has shown they might actually be pretty relevant this year. The Braves have been led by Zion Crow. He's putting up 19 points a game. He's just so hard to defend, just with his athleticism and scoring ability. Patrick Fultz, who is another guard for the Braves, he's a Wright State baseball signee, putting up 4 assists a game. He's one of the top 5 in terms of assists in the CBC. Shawnee looked solid in that Botkins loss that I watched. I think that matchup with John Alder, it's going to be those 2 battling it out. But then Tecumseh, they need to be mentioned too. I mean, you look at Tecumseh, They lost that close one to Shawnee. They've got losses to Indian Lake and Miamisburg, but then they've beaten Bell Fountain, and then they've beaten Carroll and Bethel, who are teams lower division than them, but you know they're winning games. I think Tecumseh with Colin O'Connor, he's leading the CBC in scoring right now. They're going to have a chance again. They play at Jonathan Alder tomorrow night. If they could beat Alder or they could beat Shawnee, it'd make things pretty complicated in this league because really after that, those two locally, Kenton Ridge is sitting at 3-4, but they haven't really – they don't really have, you know, a win on their schedule that gives us the vibe that they're going to be able to keep up with this league. They have a 19-point loss to North Union, who's the best team in the other division, which we'll talk about in a moment. You know, Bell Fountain and London. Bell Fountain's only putting up 28 points a game in CBC games. London is 2-4. They don't have a quality win either. In that Mad River division, North Union sitting at the top at 6-1. They're getting votes as one of the top Division III teams in the state. After that, though, you got Indian Lake who's sitting at 4-4, and they've performed pretty well considering the talent they lost from a year ago. They're currently riding a two-game winning streak, including beating Tecumseh just a few days ago. They got some close losses, and really when you look at their losses, they've all been by single digits, losing to Dayton Christian, Anna, Urbana, and Jackson Center. Keeping things close is exactly what you got to do to win ball games. They've got a relatively tough schedule coming into January when you look ahead, but I think the Lakers, if they can pick up some wins against some teams they're not supposed to win against, they might be able to compete. Graham has performed relatively well early on within the CBC. They're sitting at 3-3 overall. Urbana, to start the year, was looking like they might actually make some noise. They started the year off 2-0, and they had two pretty big wins, but they've lost three of their last four since then, including, you know, they did beat Indian Lake, and they only lost by four at North Union. So this division may not be as separated as the Kenton Trail division. So that'll be interesting to watch. Really, you're just hoping to knock off North Union if you can. So CBC, again, not much to talk about. We don't cover those teams as much. Moving on to the Metro Buckeye Conference, this is where things get a little – you want to talk about surprises. This is where this conference has been a surprise altogether. Looking at the top team, you're looking at Yellow Springs and Legacy Christian. That's your top two teams in this conference right now. Yellow Springs has been about as impressive as you could ask for a Division IV team. Their only loss coming the first game of the year to Greenan. Since then, they haven't lost. They beat Dayton Christian by 5. They beat Emmanuel Christian by 17. Those have been their two kind of best games since then. They play Bethel tomorrow night. They're going to get a game with Legacy Christian and a rematch with Dayton Christian next month. The Bulldogs have had a lot of success, and it starts with DeAndre Cohen. He's putting up 20 points a game right now, and the Bulldogs are playing really well. You know, they got good guard play from Eli Eirik and Nate Curtis. They're both in averaging, you know, combined over 12 assists a game. The Bulldogs have been playing very well. And when you beat teams like Dayton Christian and Emmanuel Christian, that's the wins you need to win this conference. Legacy Christian, they've been a bit of a surprise. When you lose a guy like Jonathan Riddle, I did not see this team competing in the MBC. And really, when you look at it, their wins, two of their three wins have been against winless teams in Miami Valley School and Jefferson Township. They did beat Emmanuel Christian. So I don't think it's fair yet to be talking about Legacy Christian being the best team. We'll see what happens in January. Within the first 11 days of January, they get Dayton Christian and they get Yellow Springs. That's going to be very telling after those games if the Knights truly are going to be contenders. Dayton Christian, I think, sitting at 6-1, they are not a pretender, but definitely a contender. I think if they can beat Yellow Springs in their rematch, they can easily be competitive in this conference. I mean, you look at them, and they have won convincingly in every game. They've got wins against Worthen and Christian and Indian Lake outside of MBC, so they're picking up wins that they need to win outside the conference. They're getting a lot of really solid play themselves. You know, Brady Woodall has been one of the best guards in this league. Jamison Bates is 5th in scoring right now. They got size and senior Adam Bletzinger and Devin Dreyer. this Dayton Christian team has been pretty impressive. They're on their honorable mention in Division III right now. They're the biggest school in this conference. They should be able to compete. Emmanuel Christian, you know, they're sitting at 3-4. And then again, the rest of the conference, though, hasn't been very great. Jefferson Township, after missing last year due to COVID, we didn't really know what to expect out of them this year, and it's been a struggle. They are averaging, this is not a typo, they are averaging 31 points a game. Excuse me, I read that wrong. I apologize. They're averaging 11 points a game, and they're giving up 66. Things have not been good for Jefferson Township. Not going to dwell on the negative, though. Metro Buckeye Conference, like I said, I think, you know, Legacy Christian will find out, are they truly a contender in this conference when they play Yellow Springs and Dayton Christian? And then really that second matchup between the Bulldogs and the Warriors is going to determine who wins this conference. If Yellow Springs can beat Dayton Christian and they can beat Legacy Christian even once, that's going to give them an opportunity to really take care of a business. Now, where the Bulldogs go in terms of tournament play, we're going to have to wait and see. They've got the depth, it looks like. They've got different guys doing different things. When it comes to that tournament draw, where do they end up going? They're in that same district as Springfield Catholic Central, as Tri-Village. I don't know if the Bulldogs can compete with those teams, but who knows? Moving to the Ohio Heritage Conference, the North and the South Division. The North Division, just going to go over it briefly because only two of these teams aren't even teams we cover in Fairbanks and West Jefferson. West Liberty Salem is the best team in this division that's locally. They're 5-2. They really haven't picked up a quality win, though, outside of, you know, they lost by 12 to Miami East and lost by 3 to Greenan. Other than that, they don't really have a quality win on their resume. They're currently tied with Fairbanks for first in the conference, and they've already beaten Fairbanks once to start the season off. Really, the talk of this league comes when you come down to the South Division, where Catholic Central, Springfield Catholic Central, they're 7-0. And man, have they looked good to start the season off. They've picked up, they beat Cedarville by 15, beat Greenview by 19, won a low-scoring affair with Madison Plains. They beat Greenan by 5. You know, Greenan's been hanging around with some teams this season, led by Jaden Jernell. Catholic Central, they have a very good chance of ending 2021 undefeated. They play Emmanuel Christian on Thursday night, and just Emmanuel Christian has shown they can compete, but I don't know if they've got the depth to beat the Irish. Really, Catholic Central could go undefeated up until January 8th when they play Division I Springfield. By the time they play Springfield, those guys are going to be playing their best basketball, or probably playing better than they are right now after getting a late start. The Irish have looked really, really good. Tyler Galooch is leading the league in scoring at 18 points a game. Ian Galooch is leading in assists. Tyler Galooch is fourth in blocks. Ashton Young isn't even on this kind of these scoring stats. He's been a really good senior for them as well. The fact that the Irish have already beaten Greenview and Cedarville, they're already in a very good spot. Greenan also. They're in a good spot. They're full two games above all of these teams. Greenview's been a bit of a surprise, though. 6-2 to start the year. Didn't really know what to expect with them when you lose two guys like Rhett Birch and Cole Allen, but they found a way to still be in the top half. They, again, have a good chance of ending. They could very easily end 2021 at 8-2. They go down to Miami Trace to play in their holiday little event. But the Rams have already beaten Cedarville once. They've beaten Greenan once. The loss comes to Catholic Central. They have a loss to Madison Plains, which is a little bit questionable. Cedarville's played the most games out of anyone. They've played 10 games already this season. But my thing with Cedarville is you look at their losses, and their three losses have been to teams you can't really shake your head too much at. You lose by 5 to Greenview. You lose by 15 to Catholic Central. Okay, you're not going to judge them for that. They lost by 8 to Emmanuel Christian. Maybe not great for them. You look at their wins. They picked up a win against Waynesville. That's big. They beat Fairfield out of Leesburg, which is Southeast Ohio. They're a good team out of Southeast Ohio. That's good. But Cedarville just doesn't have that. They don't have that one win that you just look at and you say, yeah, that's huge. You know, Waynesville being two divisions higher than them, that's big for them, but that was also the first game of the season. You can't really judge them too much because Waynesville's playing different now than they were that game. And with Division 4 being such a cluster at the top, when you look at it as a broad division, you have to have that signature win. And the Indians just don't have that signature win yet. Now, what they do have that not a lot of teams in this league do have themselves is they've got a very good big man in Hayden Hansen at 6'8". He's average. He's leading the OHC in rebounds. It's just been a little bit of a they gotta find a way to win. They gotta find a way to win one of these games here coming up. You know, if you can't take care of business and win a signature win, it's gonna be hard for us to really put Cedarville near the top of this conference. Greenan, they have been competing with everyone that they've played. They're 6-3. Again, we talked about some of these losses. You know, they lost by 6 to Greenview, lost by 5 to Catholic Central. Now, they got beat by 29 to Springfield Shawnee. That's not a good look for them. And since then, they've also, you know, sneaked by West Liberty Salem and Emmanuel Christian. But Greenan is showing they're competing. They're sticking around. That's what you got to do in the OHC. You got to find ways to stick around and hopefully find some separation. We'll see how the rest of this league ends. You know, Catholic Central's in a very good spot where they're at currently. You just got to hope that one of these teams can find a way, at least two of these three teams can find a way to beat them and even the playing field. But again, this goes back to the conversation we had with Yellow Springs. With Catholic Central, you're in the same district as Tri-Village. Where are the coaches going to vote? You know, if Catholic Central wins out, or let's say hypothetically they win every game except Springfield, are you going to vote the Irish higher than Tri-Village, who have two losses currently? We'll talk a little bit more about Tri-Village when we get to the WOAC here shortly, but that's going to be some good questions to consider. Three Rivers Conference. It's been a very interesting conference as well. Troy Christian and Northridge. They've been the two teams that are sitting at 1-2 right now. Troy Christian's undefeated. They've looked pretty good in every game they've played in. I mean, you look at their resume, they've already got wins against the top half of the conference, beating Milton Union in overtime, beating Miami East, and beating Northridge all. They are playing in that Piqua tournament, like I mentioned, with Piqua and with the NBL. They are playing Graham tomorrow night. Excuse me, Wednesday night, and if they win, they'll get either Piqua or Fairlawn, depending on if they win or lose. Troy Christian they brought back pretty much everyone from a year ago, and it's been paying off for them. You know, you look at the stat sheets, they don't have anyone that's scoring more. They don't have anyone scoring more than 17 points a game right now because that's not how they play. They're going to beat you by playing good defensive basketball, and it's been showing the fact that they've only given up 43 points a game right now overall. Northridge, they just picked up their first loss in conference play to Troy Christian. Besides that, they got blown out by Bellbrook, but the Polar Bears have been pretty impressive, and you look at them, they have got arguably the best scorer or second best scorer in this conference in Antoine Jacobs. You know, you take away Wes Enos from Miami East and how he's been playing, Jacobs is averaging 21 a game. I don't think we thought very highly of Northridge just because they graduated a couple guys from that team a year ago, but I think that we kind of underestimated how good of a scorer Jacobs is, and the fact that they're 4-1 in the conference with that only loss coming to Troy Christian is proof of that. A team that, you know, I think hasn't hit their stride yet is Miami East. They're sitting at 500 in the TRC, but you look at those losses, they were, you know, a two-point loss in Northridge. They got beat pretty bad by Troy Christian, but you have to expect this in Miami East. They're a young team. They're susceptible to up and down play. We'll see. They got Versailles tomorrow night, who we're going to talk about in D3, might be the best team in Division 3 locally. And then they've got a tough stretch of games coming up too. Bethel, Northridge, and Meadowdale and Troy for their five next games after Versailles. So Miami East, if they may be looking at a situation where this team is a solid group, but the record may be deceiving if they drop some of those games. Bethel's the only other one I want to talk about. You know, they're 3-6 overall, a little bit of a deceiving record. Casey Cassis second in the conference right now and scoring at 22 a game. Bethel just hasn't really performed the way we've expected them. You know, they found some success in the middle of December, beating Layman Catholic in Covington, but you know, tough losses, double-digit losses on the road at Northridge and against Milton Union. Those are games you're going to have to win. They got Yellow Springs tomorrow night in another non-league game. You beat Yellow Springs, it's a good step in the right direction to start 2022, but you know, the Bees have got to find some success here. Overall, I think someone will find a way to beat Troy Christian in this conference just because with Antoine Jacobs being a scoring guy he is, Blake Brumbaugh from Milton Union, we haven't even talked about Milton Union, Cassie at Bethel, Ennis at Miami East. Each of these teams have a guy that can score the ball. If you can get your guy hot against Troy Christian and maybe have a second player or two step up, that might be enough to beat the Eagles. So it'll be telling if one of these teams can figure that out. The WOAC has been about as surprising as a conference, I think, of anybody. Tri-Village was the talk of this conference from day one, bringing back everyone from an undefeated regular season last year. Well, they're not going to have an undefeated regular season this year. They've already lost two games to Mason and to Fairland. But other than that, they've dominated every game they've played in, including a 10-point win against the Meadowdale. They've already picked up. They had a 46-point win over Arcanum at home. They have a 35-point win against Cincinnati Christian on the road. They're hosting their holiday tournament this weekend. They'll have a shot at possibly playing Dayton Christian. I mean, this is a very, very, very good Tri-Village team. They didn't even have one of their starters there for a while. Lane Sarver has been playing extremely well, you know, averaging 18 points a game. He's averaging over two blocks a game. Josh Scantlin, when he's healthy, he's been right about the same. You know, this Tri-Village team has been very big, tough to match up against. But that's not the talk of this conference. The talk of this conference is Twin Valley South and Bradford. These are two teams that last year in the Cross County Conference struggled. I will be the first to admit I did not think Twin Valley South would even be in the top half of the WOAC this year because they lost their top guy in Braden Marker, and nobody that was coming back I felt was enough to beat Tri-Village or beat Preble Shawnee, who I thought were going to be the 1-2 punch in this conference. Instead, TVS has found a way to pull seven wins out, their only loss coming outside of the conference to Waynesville. But you look at this team, I mean, you cannot deny that a 7-1 start is pretty darn good. They don't have anyone that is going to stand out in terms of guys that are going to score the ball at a high level. You look at their resume, they don't have a huge dominating win. Their only, I'd say, quality win was an 18-point win at home against Ansonia. Besides that, you look at some of the teams they've beaten, they haven't really beaten anybody that gigantic yet. You know, they haven't played Preble Shawnee, they haven't played Tri-Village, haven't played Arcanum, haven't even played Bradford, who's the other team in this conference right now. At this point, they've played kind of the bottom half of the conference, and they're 4-0, which is great. But it's going to be very telling of what they're able to do the rest of the way. Bradford's the other team that's right there at the top of this conference. They're 7-2 overall. Parker Davidson has been a huge piece of this team. You look at, you know, Bradford in the past, they have been a team you just don't expect them to win basketball games because they just have struggled that much in the Cross County Conference. Now they got seven wins already. They're putting the pieces together. They lost by 4 to Legacy Christian. They got beat by 31 of Rushi, which that's not a bad loss when we talk about the Shelby County League. But they're in the same boat as Twin Valley South, that they don't have that quality win yet. They also beat Ansonia, and they beat Layman Catholic. But they don't have that quality win. The difference with Bradford, though, is they've got a very good scorer in Parker Davidson, who's averaging 26 a game. That's a difference between these two teams. I think when these two teams play each other, that's what's going to give Bradford a shot to win that game. Preble Shawnee, they got off to a late start because of football. You know, Mason Shrout is leading the conference in scoring. You take away a 4-point loss to Franklin Monroe, the Arrows probably would also be undefeated. And again, similar to a lot of these teams in this conference, they just haven't played anybody that huge yet that we can say is there. Now, Twin Valley South is playing in the same event as Preble Shawnee. It's Preble Shawnee's hosting this tournament. If these two teams can win and get a matchup with each other on Wednesday night, that might be a game I make a trip up to Camden to go watch them play, because that would be Twin Valley South's biggest matchup of the season. And for Preble Shawnee, that would also serve as their best chance to prove where they belong. So that, you know, the WOAC, that's where we're at. Shelby County League, this league, Botkins is off to an 8-0 start. They have looked like they have not had any issues in terms of their start to the season. They've already picked up wins over Fort Loramie, Jackson Center within the Shelby County League. They have a non-league win over Springfield Shawnee. They've looked pretty darn good. The rest of the league, it's about performed where we thought. It's going to be a battle for second. Fort Loramie is sitting there at 6-4. Anna's sitting there at 5-4. Jackson Center's at 5-3. The surprise team, though, is Rushi. They're sitting at 4-2. Rushi got off to a very hot start when they beat Fort Loramie. But the Raiders, they kind of hit a rough stretch. They lost to Anna and they lost to Jackson Center recently. Games I don't think they should have lost, but they do have second chances to try to catch back up. But really, you're really trying to keep up with Botkins. I mean, they don't look like they've missed a beat from a year ago. They're the best team in Division 4 right now in our power rankings. They're top 5 in the state. The Plyman brothers have been phenomenal. I just don't see anyone in this league beating Botkins overall. They've already got a 2-game lead on Loramie, Anna, and Jackson Center, and Rushi, who are all at 2 losses already in the league. You know, even if one of those teams can beat the Trojans, which is very likely with second matchups, I just don't see Botkins losing a game here. And then the MAC, the only thing I'm going to say about the MAC is it's New Bremen and Versailles are the top two teams here. Versailles is undefeated. Bremen's sitting at 7-2. St. Henry's been a surprise that they're 1-3. I thought they'd be the third best team, but they haven't really played that many games yet. Marion Local and Delphi St. John's are both looking like teams that could compete. You know, there's still a lot of optimism in this conference, but we don't cover it enough that I want to dwell too deep into it. Just that New Bremen and Versailles are probably your two best teams. So that'll wrap up the recap. Again, I thought it'd be a good idea for us to kind of touch base on where everybody is currently locally, since we haven't done a lot of podcasts lately. Hoping to get more episodes out into the new year, as well as call a few more games and do some more written content. I apologize for the delay up to this point. Again, though, life has just kind of gotten in the way, which isn't an excuse, but it's just what I want to share. Make sure you're following us on Twitter for updates at swofcp.com. We'll have power ranking updates probably once a month. The latest update just went out. We'll be going out today, if not tomorrow. I will be at the Bellbrook versus Ponitz game tomorrow. So if you're there, definitely hit me up. Definitely willing to talk some hoops with anybody that wants to talk hoops. And just continue. Thank you. I just want to continue to thank you for the support up to this point in the year. Seth and I have projects we're working on into next year, including bringing the Miami Valley All-Conference Challenge back yet again for a second season, which we're working on. We're excited for that to come back. And we just thank you all, the Dayton area, for the support we've had so far. We're going to continue to do what we can to bring the best coverage to the Dayton area. And, you know, we're going to continue to look to expand and take risks to grow. So if you have ideas for things you want to see us try to do, games you want to try to have us call, definitely feel free to reach out on DM to us or to, you know, Seth or me personally or to SWO's Twitter page themselves. So for this episode, this is Tony Peters signing off. Thank you again for tuning into another episode, and we'll talk to you soon.